Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, as we prepare to welcome Sal Capaccio in on the WestHer Hotline, we remind you that he gives you the inside scoop and takes you behind the scenes of Training Camp 2021. Sal will go live on WGR's Facebook page throughout Training Camp. Behind the scenes at Training Camp, presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Very good. Welcome to our show. Sal Capaccio now on the WestHer Hotline. Sal, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you today?
Pretty good, I think.
I'm fantastic.
Still got some hip discomfort. Got these scented pens, though. I have to go back and talk about those some more. So, Sal, a couple of players have been on my mind to talk about with you here in these conversations that we didn't get to or haven't in a while gotten to. And one has to be Kumerow, I think, at this point. Right? I mean, you're sort of noticing him a lot, it seems. And maybe a lot of people are. Even my fantasy guys have caught wind of reports like yours and are now wondering, like, if he's relevant in that kind of context. What is going on? Is Jake Kumerow somebody to take seriously here in this offense?
I think so, guys. It reminds me right now of how we constantly talked about Gabriel Davis last year. And, you know, Gabriel Davis became a player in this offense, right? Now, we all know there's only so many mouths to feed on the Buffalo Bills offense this year. But Jake Kumerow has gone from, hey, do you think he can make the team, to me thinking, like, they need to get him on the field. He makes plays. Right. He catches the ball. He checks a lot of boxes on what the Bills want, what they need. He's a bit of a different player. He's got a set super huge, but he's a bigger guy, runs really good routes, catches the football. He's a little faster than what you might think. You know, he's not, like, super speed or anything like that. But, yeah, he's turning heads. He was fantastic today. I called him a highlight reel during the one-on-one portion today.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned Davis at, like, this time last year was occupying the role that Kumerow is seemingly in this year, which is like, oh, my gosh, this guy, he keeps making plays. And Kumerow emerging in this way, like, one of the first things I might think of when I hear that is, does that compromise Gabriel Davis in some way, right? Because, like, you just said it. I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed. You've got Steph Diggs. You've got Emmanuel Sanders. You've got Cole Beasley in the slot. And, like, you know, really, you're looking at a guy who's battling for, like, the fourth receiver role with Gabriel Davis, I would think, unless I'm reading it wrong.
I mean, that's right, but, you know, and they also have Isaiah McKenzie, and I think that he has a role in this offense. He's going to probably be the return man, right? I mean, you know, what are you going to do here? How are you going to do it? I mean, it's a good problem to have, right? So, I mean, you're looking at it from, like, a fantasy perspective. I don't expect, you know, Jake Kumerow to be getting a whole ton of targets at the end of the year, but I just think that it just goes to show you that they can just keep trotting these guys out, and based on matchup and personnel and injuries and all that kind of stuff, Brian Daboll just has a lot of different options, and Josh Allen has a lot of different options on a play-to-play basis.
How do you if you, how specific can you be with how you might envision Kumerow fitting in, you know, in personnel? Like, who does he replace? Or, because that's not easy here. Like, what does it look like?
Well, I think that last year they kind of learned, you know, through the injuries they had, that, you know, you have to really remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and they want to make sure that, you know, they keep guys healthy and they keep guys fresh. You know, as we know, last year the Bills ran a ton of four and, you know, three and four wide receiver sets, really more than anybody in the league. You know, so there's going to be room. There's going to be time. There's going to be time for these guys to get on the field, and it might be more of a game-to-game basis and things like that. I don't know if about replace, Mike, is, you know, the proper way to put it, because I think that Stephon Diggs and is going to be a constant. I think that Cole Beasley is going to be a constant. I think Emmanuel Sanders, the guy, is a little bit older. You're probably going to give him, you know, some breaks here and there, make sure that he has takes a little more off his plate. You know, Isaiah McKenzie is going to be put in certain matchup situations. So there's going to be time. There's going to be room for a guy like Jake Kumerow, because I don't think they're going to miss. You know, we're not going to look at the end of the game and have three guys with over 90% snaps. You might only get one guy like that, and that could be seven, maybe two, and Cole Beasley. But, you know, I think there's room here for these guys to all play and all share in it.
Well, that sounds like a really good idea. You know, like if in practicality you can get guys like even Beasley played the last bit of the season with a broken bone, right? Diggs was worn down. So, like, if you can split up even the role, I don't think anybody wants to limit Diggs, although you want to make sure you maintain him and keep him healthy, but, like, he is going to get his targets and he'll get his 100 catches, I assume, if this all goes the way it should according to plan. Maybe everyone else even, because Sanders can play the slot in place of Beasley, like, maybe everyone else you can sort of take it easy on if you've got this sort of depth that is provably dependable, right, with Kumerow and Davis and McKenzie. Like, you can probably put everybody on something of a pitch count.
I agree with that. I think that would be the perfect scenario. I also think, and I mean, this is pretty Pollyanna maybe to think about, but, you know, the way this offense looks, guys, I got to tell you, I mean, we could be in the fourth quarter of games and, you know, they kind of dial it down a little bit and say, take a load off some of these guys, right? I mean, they're just a machine out there. I've never seen it like this. I really haven't. And when you know it when you see it. I'll just say it that way, because, you know, a lot of times we've gone out and like, yeah, they're pretty good on offense or whatever, but I mean, they are humming, and they rarely make mistakes. I wrote today they're very buttoned up. Even Mitch Morris kind of talked about yesterday, you know, because of the continuity, because of everybody being back, you know what you're supposed to do. And I said, does that put more pressure on, you know, not making a mistake? You know, you have to, hey, everybody's expected every play to be really good. And he said, no, not necessarily, but you better not make the same mistake twice. You know what I mean? You're talking about seven practices into a training camp. We're talking about it like this. Josh Allen looks really good. I just, whenever I watch them, the entire practice, they're just very, very good at what they do on a consistent basis, more than I've ever seen.
Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. This is not meant as a butt to what you were just laying out, but I am also curious about Dawson Knox at this point. I know there was a play today you'll maybe describe, but what do you think he is now to the Bills? You still don't have... I mean, I don't know if the Zach Ertz thing is happening anywhere. And so you're well into camp now. Knox is the guy. Hollister was even hurt, right? So what does that look like?
I think they really still want Dawson Knox to be their number one tight end. You know, I don't think there's any danger of that unless they go out and they do make a move for someone. As the roster's currently set, I would think that, you know, that's the plan basically. But, you know, Jacob Hollister, yeah, he did dress today. He really didn't get many reps. You know, today he had a big drop. And, you know, this is something that's plagued him. He would have scored a touchdown against the defense. And Trubisky, I think it was Trubisky who, you know, he hit him right in the hands. He had the defense beat in stride, could have basically just run into the end zone. And he dropped it. Now, I will tell you, that's the first real drop I've seen Dawson Knox have through seven practices. So it's noteworthy because it's him, and this has happened before. But I think he's been better and more consistent than I've seen him through the first, you know, seven practices up until that particular play today. I think they really like him to be – he can be a matchup guy they want. You know, you can put him in all situations. He can play on the goal line. He can block people. He can play – he can go to the back of the end zone and catch a pass. We've seen him do that. He can play 20 from the 20s to the 20s. You can flex him out. I think he's really the perfect kind of player for a skill set that they want. But at the end of the day, he's got to be able to be more consistent, and they got to rely on him to make those catches like today that he didn't make one. So, you know, I'll also say this. I think their tight end room, the back end, is probably a little better than people realize. Like, they're giving these guys shots, you know. And you got a guy in Quentin Morris who was mentioned by special teams coach Heath Farwell today. You know, he gets opportunities out there. Reggie Gilliam's listed as a fullback, you know, but they use him as a Swiss Army knife, basically, around, and he does a lot of different things. He was mentioned today by Heath Farwell as far as special teams, and these guys are getting opportunities. Tommy Sweeney, Nate Becker. You know, I think they're just trying to really find the right kind of mix for this tight end room, and that doesn't even include Jacob Hollister yet because he has been hurt.
Yeah. What in your experience, Sal, what can a guy that has drop issues do? Like, and maybe Knox has talked about this. I mean, I know it's been reported that he went and worked out with whatever that tight end crew that's led up by Travis Kelce was. But, like, is it just the jugs gun? Like, what is it, talking to a sports psychologist? Like, what sort of steps could a guy take to try to address something that's been, you know, pretty clearly an issue?
Yeah, and remember, he also talked a lot about the hand-eye coordination guy he went to see,
right
out in California. Okay. I think it was a really big deal during this offseason. He knows. Dawson's not unaware of this. You know, he knows that these have been issues for him. He's been inconsistent. You also have to remember he's kind of newer to the position relatively. He's only been playing it for about 4 years. He transferred from quarterback to tight end, what, his sophomore year in college at Ole Miss. So, you know, he didn't have all those reps that a lot of people have coming in the league, and I think Bulldog, that's what it's about. It's reps. It's jugs machine. It's quarterbacks. It's reps. He just has to catch as many footballs as possible. Just keep catching them and catching them and catching them and understanding and looking it in. It's got to become second nature. I think that's really all it comes down to. And, again, he's been good this year. I really liked what I've seen from Dawson Knox. But then when something like that happens today, you say, man, that's just – you can't have that on this offense that is just expecting to score so often and be so good. You can't have plays like that derail you.
With Sal Capaccio here on WGR. Anything else from today? I guess Manuel Sanders is hurt.
You know, Mike, yesterday he appeared to, like, maybe twist his foot during one-on-one drills. He left for a little while. He talked to a trainer. He went back. He finished practice. Today he didn't practice with the foot. So I would say right now let's just kind of think that maybe it's probably something they're going to give him rest on, you know, because he did finish yesterday's practice, even though that happened, and it is listed as that injury. But, you know, we'll see tomorrow if he gets out there. John Feliciano was back on the field. Forrest Lamp was not, after he was the guard, but he was not today. And then Christian Wade started practice, but he did not finish practice. So I think it was his shoulder, actually. The other thing about today, I think, to me, you know, Dane Jackson's been a little too inconsistent. I thought he had his best day today. He was more consistent today than I've seen him. You know, if Dane Jackson wants that second corner job, he's got to take it from Levi Wallace. You know, he looked really good. We all liked him. I liked him a lot last year. But it's not, you can't just give the guy the job. He's got to take it, and I don't think he's taking it. But today was a nice day for him. I think really it's got to come down to, you know, how he plays in preseason games. And I really like what I've seen from Tremaine Edmonds in coverage. He made two really nice plays today. He had an interception. He had a deflected pass. He's using his length really well. You know, the injury really hurt him last year. They're not going super live and, you know, completely getting after it right now. They're not, you know, taking guys to the ground, but, you know, you hope and you think that maybe that injury, now that he's completely over it, maybe that you're seeing some of the effects of him being able to be even better in coverage.
All right.
A lot of this, you know, a lot of this sounds like to me, it sounds like the best of Bills training camp today, and that's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Encouraging that you're saying that about Jackson, because, right, you were saying all through camp, like, he makes good plays, but he's also, you know, the victim of some plays being made against him where he's maybe not doing as well as he needs to. So we'll see. With that said, how has Levi Wallace looked, Sal?
I think a lot more consistent. You know, this offense is so tough. You're gonna give up plays against this offense. You're gonna give up plays in one-on-ones against these receivers. They're just really good. But I think Levi's looked pretty consistent. He hasn't stood out in any way for me to say, oh boy, you know, he hasn't looked good today. Now, I'm not saying he looked like a superstar either, but I think that's what you need from Levi, right? You need Levi to be the, hey, he's not a guy that's getting picked on. He's not a guy that's really been a liability out here. So I think he's been more consistent. You know, and to me, that is his job. It's his to lose. I don't think he's lost it so far, so we'll see where it goes, you know, from here. For best of today, I'll go with Jake Kumerow. Jake Kumerow was the best of training camp today. He was really good.
Sal, Jason Garrett, this has come up recently even, whether we out here or media specifically should be calling coaches by coach as opposed to their name or something else, I guess. I don't know. But Jason Garrett spanked reporters today, essentially saying that, you know, they called him Jason and he's like, you should call me coach. What do you think of that?
Well, there's a couple layers here. First of all, I did watch the clip. There's some ambiguity and some people debating whether he said what he meant or not, because he didn't say you should call me coach. From what I saw is he left and he said, somebody said it was great to, he said it was great to see you guys. And then someone said, it's great to see you too, Jason. He said, yeah, it's great to see you too, coach. That's how we do it around here. And I don't know. And someone said he wasn't really emphasizing the coach part, but he might have been. And that's, and if that's the case, then yes, it's a discussion, because are you kidding me? Like, you know, I mean, he, to me, is not in a position, anybody is, to say, no, you need to call me coach. Or Deion Sanders is not in a position to say, you need to call me coach. Now, that's a different discussion. Those guys are wrong in that versus the other side, which is, I will tell you, and this has been a discussion I've had with other people in the media, and I kind of got some, you know, flack for a couple weeks ago, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you, I call Sean McDermott coach sometimes. I call every coach I talk to coach sometimes. You know why? Because that's just how I grew up. Those people are coaches in my life. And, you know, that's just, whenever I see them, I'm going to call them coach. Whether I'm a media member or not, I don't think it's unprofessional. And I think it's stupid for anyone to care if I do it or not do it. Now, I might call him Sean. If you think, if you don't want to call him coach, you don't have to. That's up to you. I don't care. But I don't see why anybody would care if I would call him coach. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we covered this with Paul earlier, Sal, and that I feel very much like that. And it's not like in defense of you or Paul, who also said he called Lindy Ruff almost exclusively coach through his long tenure as the Sabre head coach. I think it's fine. If you want to call someone in that profession coach, what I don't think is fine is for the coach to tell you that you have to call him coach. Like, that is just an ego running wild to me. Like, dude, no. I mean, it's just not. It's not the way you should approach it. In my view, anyway.
Totally. I agree. And when Deion Sanders did it a few weeks ago at the media day, he said, "Yeah, if you call Nick Saban Nick, you know he's gonna give it to you." And that's not true. There's a clip. Somebody put together a clip of lots of people calling him Nick, and he answers questions just fine. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It devolves into a discussion that I guess there's just some people who think that, you know, because we're in this profession, oh, they're not your coach. Well, guess what? Somebody's not my doctor, I still call him doctor. I mean, it's a title, and it's something they worked their whole life for that they've achieved. And how about this? It's just the way I've talked to those people my whole life, so I'm not going to change. And I even heard someone comparing it to, well, what do you call them, buddy or pal? No, I mean, that's completely different. That's not what they are. And, you know, I am going to keep doing it, and if anybody in my profession who's listening who thinks that that's unprofessional, well, too bad. Then you can call me that, because I'm going to keep doing it.
Sal, thanks. Talk to you next time.
Okay, you too.
There you go. Sal Capaccio on our West Hur Hotline. And coverage of Bills training camp here on WGR is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Jim's Steakhouse, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!